Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the Save the Kids podcast. It's your one-stop shop for raising kids in this tech-heavy world. We bring on professionals and experts to give you all the tools you need to help your kids become fire-breathing warriors that have the strength to break out of the mold society has put them in. At the end of the day, we're all here for one reason, to help save some kids. I'm your host, Nate Webb. Let's get to it. What's up, everybody, and welcome back to the Save the Kids podcast. It's your host, Nate Webb, live in Studio Salt Lake City area, and we got a show for you today. You know, first and foremost, Happy New Year, everybody. This is the first episode of 2024, and we at Save the Kids are ecstatic to continue to bring you value here in the podcast. And today, we're going to be talking about some difficult topics. So here's your trigger warning. But today, I got here with me my man, Joe T. Joe Tuiana, did I say it even close to right?
Very close.
We'll get it there. What is it? Close. How do I say it again?
No, man, you're right there. Tuiana.
Tuiana. Okay. Well, he is the founder of the I Love You Bro Project, the nonprofit organization that specifically addresses men's mental health and suicide prevention. Last year, Joe's life changed. Using the phrase, I love you, bro, Joe was able to stop a man from ending his own life on a highway overpass. And shortly after, Joe was recruited by the Utah Department of Health and Human Services to create the Live On Utah Suicide Prevention Playbook, which is the world's first ever suicide prevention training for your average Joes entirely on Instagram. Joe is a champion for men's mental health, suicide prevention, his beautiful family, professional girl dad, and an advocate of doing the right thing. Welcome to the show, my friend, Joey T.
Hey, what's up, everybody?
So happy to have you, man. So how has your life been? Like, how much has your life changed since that day on the overpass, man, in the last year?
That's a very good question. And the answer is very, it's so layered. You know, when you have that experience, you know, when we rolled up, because it wasn't just my experience, it was
right,
my
you with your girls.
Experience. Yes. And so as a dad, I first and foremost, my concern was right at that moment was I can't let this happen in front of my kids, because this is such a traumatic, for me it was, and for obviously for Aaron, the young man that I loved off the ledge. But since this experience, obviously, I think it was meant to be us at that time, at that specific moment. I think it was meant to be me. I think there was a divine intervention there. But for me, obviously, I caught on to the need and demands of, men are struggling in silence, and they're not speaking up about it. So as much as I love this story, and you know how many times I've told it and interviewed with Fox News and MSNBC and all these different things, it eventually got to a point where I said, why did it even have to get to an overpass? Why is there an overpass story? And so I wanted the I Love You Bro project kind of developed after I've gotten to know Aaron. And a few things he was missing that day was he didn't have anyone to connect with that he trusted, but to call on. And he didn't have the tools he needed for himself to help himself, any coping skills or any knowledge to empower himself. And so the I Love You Bro project came after I've gotten to know Aaron and figured, you know, I'm a normal average dude. I represent literally the average Joe.
Literally and Joe. He is literally Joe.
Pun intended. But I do. And so I'm thinking from the average Joe perspective, how many other Jews, how many other average Joes are out there who are struggling, who could use this type of service? And so the I Love You Bro project has changed for the positive. It's changed me, as of course my heart was leveled up, my mind was leveled up after that experience. You know, other things that I don't talk about too often is that it also was very traumatic for myself. There are negatives from this experience where, you know, core memory unlocked, whether that very beautiful, but man, bro, I have my anxiety and my panic attacks, I feel like, are every time I go over that overpass, it's like, okay, I gotta take a
Right.
deep breath. I gotta, you know, I gotta, you know.
Right.
So
Your
I
heart
am,
level increases and
oh
everything.
man, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So as beautiful as it is, there are so many beautiful things we're doing.
Yeah.
But the reality is, you know, I've been changed like physically, emotionally, in every way since this experience.
Yeah. And with all those changes, though, I will say you have started to change the world. After that happened, I saw the suicide prevention playbook on Instagram, the Live on Utah come out, you know, post by post it came out and the links and everything. And I actually went through the course.
Oh, that's
And I
awesome,
was
man.
like, flip, this is amazing. And as traumatic as that was, I am so thankful for you and that you, A, you saved a man's life, but B, what you're able to do with it afterwards. It was a big deal. That was cool. So after and
Thanks, man.
after the fact and everything, now you've been going out. You've kind of become a little public speaker now. You've gone out to lots of different little organizations, talking to people about men's mental health and suicide prevention, going on different news stations and whatnot. And as you've been going along this journey of advocacy, what are some of the things you've noticed about men's mental health? About mental health in general, suicide prevention that need to change in today's modern world.
That's a good question. I think as I have gotten to get the word out, you know, we talk about, you know, men's mental health in general. There's just a stigma, a shadow of stigma surrounding all of it, particularly here in Utah, with a very strong culture of, you know, sweep it under the rug, honestly, or push it to the side, or, you know, just, you know, pray about it and it'll be gone, or just, you know, really keep your chin up. You know, put a smile on your face. And when it comes to men's mental health, what I'm finding is a good, kind of like a good comparison. It was when I loved Aaron off the ledge. I sat there for this 1 minute or 2 minutes of just perfect peace, and all I told him was, "I love you, bro." And he latched onto me, and we were just having this perfect peace. But I'll tell you, the perfect representation of society happened right after that, when I had us probably 30 to 40 people surround us on that overpass. And the first questions, bro, the first things these people started to say fractured that peace. It was the first girl came up, and they all meant well, quote, you know, but it was the first reaction was this girl said, "Why would you want to do that? Oh man, you have so much to live for." The next dude shows up. You know, "Do you have a family? Why would you do that to your family?" The next, I mean, it was just one after another of just,
Guilt and shame.
yes, guilt and shame. Regardless if Aaron, whoever he, if he was a male or female, there was so much shame in the immediate reaction right there where this guy is struggling, crying in my arms. And that was their first reaction. And so when I go out and speak, and I go on podcasts and I meet with different people of organizations, I get a similar reaction. I still get, you know, "There's light at the end of the tunnel." Absolutely, there is. Do I believe that? Yes. But I say the immediate thing that comes to my mind is, would I say that on the overpass? What if I, instead of "I love you, bro," I said, "There's light at the end of the tunnel," or "Why would you want to do this?" or "What's your son going to think about this?"
You're going to talk them into jumping.
Yes, yeah. I'm going to shame him into, I'm that icing on the cake, which is like, you know, this is it then. You know, obviously this is not worth it. I made the right decision in this particular case. So when I'm speaking and I'm meeting with people, I try to get the point across as it doesn't, I'm a perfect stranger. We're strangers in that situation. Whenever you're talking to someone, especially about mental health, or especially if you don't know them or don't know their circumstances, our first reaction, our first the conversation needs to be, "I love you, bro." It needs to be one where we're saying, "I'm here for you, bro. I'm listening, bro." I got you, bro. Not start quoting scripture or start some motivational speech. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's society, man. I think that's a good representation of, I think 95% of people want to do the right thing, but the same 95% of the people aren't going about it the right way.
Oh, there's a saying. I like to say I made it up, but I'm pretty sure I heard it somewhere else. My subconscious just likes to
No, you
remember it a
made it
lot.
up. Let's just say you made it up.
The path to pain is paved with good intentions, where people mean a lot of good, but sometimes they cause a lot of pain by the way they go about it. When they say things like, what would your family think? What are you doing to them? Or why would you do this? And unintentionally putting shame on them. Because when we're in this situation where we're talking to someone who's experiencing suicidal ideation, it's scary. And when you're full of fear, you say some things that are full of fear. Last year at the school I work at, we had a student die, not from suicide. He fell through a lake and he drowned in an ice lake. And we had I'm an assistant girls wrestling coach. And we had a couple of girls who were struggling mental health wise. And one of the girls pulled me and the head coach aside and was like, I feel like I might be next. I feel like I might, try and take my life. And the assistant coach initially was like, you can't be having those feelings. You can't be doing that. And I
Oh
was
my
like,
goodness.
oh, these feelings are normal. I'm not going to shame you, but just know that your life's worth living. One sec. I'm going to be right back. Kid, turn on a fan. I'll be right back. All right, we back. Anyway, so when that happened, I was just like, my gosh, these kids are feeling so much shame and guilt around these topics. And so removing that shame and guilt to the very first thing, your whole slogan, I love you. I'm sorry you're feeling this. I love you. Yes, there's a light at the end of the tunnel, but that doesn't matter right now. What matters right now is this sucks, but I need you to know that I love you. It's a big, big deal.
That's a, and just what I'm finding now, bro, is it's just the just that phrase, I love you, is stigmatic to a lot of people, especially guys. You know,
Especially men. Oh, yeah.
I purposefully will say, whether it's through a text or an email or on I'm on a conversation, I'll say, hey man, I love you, bro, to the whoever I'm talking to.
Yeah.
And they'll say ditto, or they'll say you
Same to
too.
you. Yeah. Yeah.
Or it just that sentence alone. And so the message is, coming again from an average Joe, who I like to say I have a lot of personal professional experience as a human being,
Right.
where raising three daughters as a single dad, I've learned to shut my mouth. I've learned to open my ears and open my heart. And I think we're very, we don't, we, anytime we leave a room almost in our house, my kids and I were like, I love you, whatever. I love you, sister. I love you, dad.
Right.
It gets a, we're very open and transparent, and we have no problems talking about big words like pornography and sex and masturbation and these huge stigmatic words that people in this culture in Utah and everywhere
Right.
struggle with. And so with suicide, in your case, where that when you have this young lady who's suffering from this traumatic experience, especially at that age, how is she supposed to process? You're telling you're the other coach is setting her up to process things on a on an avenue that she is completely unfamiliar with,
Yeah.
that's down a path that's freaking dark and lonely,
Yeah. I mean that, and that's what trauma is. Trauma is dark and trauma is lonely. One of the worst phrases that anyone can ever say is, I know how you feel.
Oh my
I don't
God,
care.
I
I
hate
don't
it.
care what
Oh,
you've
I
gone
hate
through.
it.
I don't care if you yourself had struggled with suicide ideation or if you yourself talk someone else off the ledge, you do not know how someone else is feeling. You might have an idea of what they experienced, but you have no clue how they process that experience. You have no clue how their actual emotions and feelings are. What really gets me is when people say, I know exactly how you're feeling. I'm like, there's literally no one on this planet who knows exactly, because our psychologies and psyches are so unique. Everyone processes stuff differently. And so no one can understand how you're feeling. So yes, it's lonely. Yes, it's normal to feel lonely and alone, because in some ways you are.
Yeah.
But that being said, it doesn't mean you don't have a support system. It doesn't mean that there aren't people that are there willing to listen, so you can tell other people how you're feeling without being shut up by, I know how you feels.
Oh my gosh. And especially, bro, with that age. That particular age with the youth. And, you know, one of the things that has already been asked and the demand is for is for our youth, particularly for our young men. And people will ask, you know, I Love You Bro Project is for men, right? It's only for, you know, 18 to 100. And I'm like, you know, right now, that is the demand that I'm addressing. And, you know, soon, we will have an I Love You Little Bro project where we will address the young men and the kids. And then soon we'll address, you know, I Love You Sis, the women, and I Love You Little. I mean, the idea behind the I Love You Bro project was that every age group, every, like you're saying, right now, every other organization, as great as they are, suicide prevention and mental health, they come at it from almost an umbrella approach, meaning suicide is bad. Yes. Suicide can be, you know, cured. Yes. But it's coming at it from an umbrella approach. The I Love You Bro Project, we're coming specifically, you know, at it from a man's point of view, for average Joes. And instead of treating, you know, killing the weeds, you know, instead of the overpass, treating that, we're treating, I want to see Aaron 3 months before this, it gets to
years.
Yes, I want to see years. And what we want to address, those things like trauma and grief that he's going through. He was going through a lot of culture shock. He's from Micronesia, Guam.
Oh my goodness.
So a lot of other things that are happening there, not just I want to, you know, die by suicide. And so the I Love You Bro Project is, we're addressing those through free educational classes we're making accessible for men, where we're going to, they're called the Let's Grow Bro classes, where we talk about addiction, pornography addiction, prescription drug use, divorce, anger management, all of these things that you could open your phone, read the news, and just see that are plaguing men. And so, and also betterment classes like, you know, how to properly breathe, breathing techniques, how to, you know, dietitians and debt management, things that men specifically need to learn more about to help themselves. And so not just the overpass, it's like you said, years before, years of programming that they've been taught by their own parents or society.
Well, and there's so many, I mean, men stereotypically have several different stressors, right? Stereotypically, men are the providers of the home. Not all of them, but a lot of them are. We're worrying about finances. We're worrying about a welfare of our children. We're worrying about all those things. On top of that, though, we've been programmed to not express our emotions. Just like you said, even saying the word love out loud, growing up, if a dude said, hey, I love you, bro, to someone else, they would have been met with a hut gay all the time.
You're homo.
I'm like, A, that's homophobic and rude. B, why would that, is that your automatic, just because someone's expressing that they love another human being? It doesn't have to be sexual or romantic. And so men in general, they're not allowed to have a space where they can be vulnerable without judgment. And a lot of times they feel like that exposure of vulnerability will be brought back to bite them and be stabbed in the back with it. And so they're often not presenting it because they're like, I don't want this to be used against me later on.
Oh my God.
And that has to change.
Man, so true. Everything you just said, bro, is so true. And I'm finding that out, I talked about a little bit about the Let's Grow Real classes to educate, but our first thing that we've already started to unroll out our phase is called Courage to Bro. It's our groups, support groups for men. We started in Provo, and these support groups specifically are for men to have an easy, accessible, free access to a safe space where they can come, they can vent, they can listen, they can connect with other men through mutual struggle, through pain and grief. And our first one last week, last Wednesday night in Provo, the idea was that, behind these groups is that you can build connections, you can build your own village, so to speak, where if you are ever in an emotional crisis or stressed out, you have contacts, you have connections here at Courage to Bro that are specifically that you don't need to go hang out with these people you connect with. You don't need to go, to the movies with them, but you know that relationship with these specific people that you are growing with at Courage to Bro, you can lean on them in those dire needs. It's kind of like the idea where, I saw a video on YouTube where a dude grabbed random strangers and had them talk to each other and say, share their deepest, darkest feelings. And they were so open and so, like, these strangers could vent, and could vent with one another, and they would tell each other things that they wouldn't tell their wives or their parents or their best friends. And the reason that is because of that I'm going to get this feedback of shame, or I'm going to get this feedback that I can't be a man and take care of myself. And we also, Nate, we also have that flip side of that, which is that alpha male culture, which is,
My
you could
gosh.
lift weights. If you lift weights, if you make as much, be a rich man, if you this, that, and the other, if you shove everyone aside and just be a man, that Mulan, be a man, like, if you are get yourself to that point, and you will have money and power and authority. And so we have a lot of that kind of training programming going
Big
into our
time.
youth in the youth
Big
now.
time.
And so where it's like you have to be a hunter. Well, guess what, man? I'm the first one. I'm 6'3", 300-pound Samoan dude, and I am a hunter when it comes to some things, but I am also a gatherer. I can play both roles, and I think men need to know that they should and can be a gatherer as well as be a hunter and be a facilitator of emotional, venting. And that's why I like these Courage to Bro groups. I know when guys are given a safe space, like you and I, even though we know we're recording this and people are going to listen, you and I can connect they just off of our past experience and grief. And I love that I can vent to you and you can vent to me. And so these Courage to Bro spaces give men that opportunity to open up and connect.
And it's so important to have that space, and it's really good. So I'm really happy that you're providing that space for people, because it's something that's really, really needed. In your experience, when it comes to suicide prevention, what do you think, like, the number, like, one or two or three biggest key factors are in saving those people?
Well, suicide, bro, is so leveled and it's so unique and it's
It's
so,
nuanced, yeah.
yes, it's just so, everyone's just like everyone is unique. Every suicide attempt or every suicide experience or ideation is unique. And so I know there's not one or two or three or four or five or 15 different reasons for suicide. I think generally speaking, it is my experience in our culture here in Utah, that there is so much talking and no listening. And when I say that, our youth, for example, the highest suicide rates are first, believe it or not, our elderly, our elderly men and women, and then our youth. And so I think of those two. What are so similar about those two? And one is that people disregard them. They don't feel like
Oh my gosh.
they're not listened to. and they're, are elderly, like you just kind of shove them in a home and, or whatever. And, oh, that's just granny being granny or grandpa being
Right,
grandpa. And the
right.
kids are, they're not listened to because they don't have experience. They're just kids.
Right.
They're just experiencing their feeling, coming into themselves. I would say in general, the people are disregarded. They're just disregarded. Our youth are not listened to, bro. You know that. They're
Right.
no one at home is listening to them. And if they are listening to them, they're simply just hearing them. And there's a big freaking
Yeah.
difference between listening to someone and hearing what they actually have to say. And so
Right.
that would be my thing. There's a lot less listening and more talking and barking and commanding,
Yeah. No, I amen. A lot of kids right now, they don't feel seen, they don't feel heard. And so because of that, they can't express their grief, their pain, their
Nothing.
suffering, and they just want the pain and suffering to go away. And they just want to cease to exist. No kid ever thinks, I want to die. They think, I want to stop existing. I want to stop feeling. And they think that way is, and to them, the most logical thing in that moment is to die. They're not thinking, I want to die. They're thinking, I want to heal.
And I was and we were sharing this in our last Courage to Bro. When someone is suffering from suicide ideation or they're feeling their feels, there's a big difference between those people don't want to be happy. They just don't want to be sad. And there's a big difference between those two things. They can only dream of being happy, but their real concern at that moment and in that time is they just don't want to be sad. And
Yeah.
they feel like, if this is a way that I cannot be sad any longer, then I want to take that way. When Aaron was on the ledge, it was a while before Aaron would open up and tell me about his side of the story. I've told everybody about my side of the story, which is a great, beautiful, miraculous story. But for a long time, I would love to hear his side. I would love to pick his brain. It got to a point where he, we always check in with each other. I always text him, maybe every couple weeks and say, I love you, bro. And he'll text me sometimes saying, hey, I love you, bro.
Right.
And one of these check-ins, I forgot to check in with him. And he called me and he's like, man, it's been 3 weeks since you've checked in with me. Are you doing okay? And I'm like, oh, bro, I'm so sorry, man. I've just been overwhelmed with stuff and busy. And he at that time started opening up and saying, well, hey, I wanted to just thank you for saving my life. When I was on that day, when I was driving, I took a drive to feel better. I thought a drive would actually be a good coping skill. And sometimes it is, we'll say go to the mountains or, take a drive, listen to some music. And he
Right.
goes, for me, it was actually the opposite. You're talking about a guy from a different culture, from the islands. And he took a drive, ended up driving to this overpass, finding himself there. And he saw that and he said, that's what I want to do. That's what I'm. I had no fear of dying, Joe. I had no fear. So he, parked the car, freaking ninja jumped over this fence and just hung there. And he said, Joe, at that time, I had no fear of dying. I had none at all. This was the right choice. And until I looked down and saw this guy, stranger, opening his arm saying, I love you, bro. He said immediately, that's when I started. I had an immediate fear of dying when I heard that, meaning I wanted to live. I had a
Yeah.
life. And so I think in general, that isn't that just, I would like to say our kids who are
Oh,
struggling,
yeah. A
and
hundred percent.
people, who are
When they
struggling,
voice
isn't
it
that
out
what they're
loud for
thinking?
the first time. The first time they, because oftentimes they don't voice it out loud because they don't feel like they can talk to anybody. And when the first time they can voice it out loud, when they're saying, I'm thinking about killing myself or hurting myself, saying that out loud, it scares them. And
Oh
they're
my
like, oh
goodness.
my goodness, no, I want to live. I don't want to die. I want to feel better. I don't want to die. It helps literally getting someone to admit that they're thinking about killing themselves will save their life. If you ask someone, if someone is struggling and you suspect they might be thinking about hurting themselves, it is okay and encouraged to just ask the question, Are you thinking about suicide, or are you thinking about
Absolutely.
hurting yourself? And if they say
Absolutely.
yes, they are, it's finally making it real. It's going from just a thought that has been hurting them to something that is real. And that is the first step to healing, is recognition. And so getting them to just say that out loud, like kind of like with Aaron, when he saw you on that overpassing, I love you, bro. And it was real now. He's like, oh my gosh, I want to live.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And when he came to that realization, it was him who came to it. It wasn't me going there, reminding him, saying, you want to live, Aaron. You have a son, you have a family. I think those phrases, those reactions, addressing suicide from that angle, that is the problem with society. It's not that the people saying these things, that's not to say they're not bad people. That's just an uneducated, inexperienced person who is not willing to learn, to actually sit, open your ears, learn,
right,
and educate yourself. And so what the I Love You Bro Project, me now, bro, the big circling back to that first question, what has changed in my life is I have learned. We've all had someone die by suicide, whether that be a friend, a family member, or someone that we know. 99.9% of people have experienced that. The difference with me after this experience was I learned that I need to make a difference. And whether that difference is me educating myself and my kids educating ourselves and asking for help for ourselves, one way or the other, when people experience a loss by suicide, they need it's an impression that should be made forever, that there should be an action afterwards, because it's always too late, man. I get so many messages, bro. I get at least 10 or 12 messages a week from random strangers saying, most of them are like, oh, Joe, it's like venting to me, Joe, my son just died by suicide, my aunt did, my uncle. They're never like, Joe, thank you. Some of them are, excuse me. Some of them are beautiful, nice messages, but most of them are after the fact.
Right.
Oh, Joe, I wished I did.
Remorseful,
this
sad.
Yes. And turn, if you're going to be remorseful, turn that negative energy that you're feeling into a positive experience where, you know, if I had to experience this, then I'm going to make this energy, turn it into a good way that I can learn from it and connect with it, especially with my kids. Like, you're like with bullying, you're such a mouthpiece. You are the mascot for bullying.
Thank you.
You know, you are that guy where I'm sure you've gotten messages, many of them, where people are like, oh my, I was bullied, this happened. And this is, you know, sometimes it's that come to Jesus fork in the road where people are like, I'm going to also bully, and I'm going to bully my kids, and I'm going to be that guy, or I'm going to learn from this, and I'm going to be an educator, not an educator, so to speak, but I mean, I'm going to be a mouthpiece for good when it comes to bullying. And I think with suicide, it's still such a stigmatic, just a thing we don't want to talk about. And it's only till dire need, or my kid, or me, or my, you know, someone close to me that has experienced that you actually give a damn. Honestly, that's what it's been for me.
Yeah, no, 100%, 100%. With any trauma, we can choose to become bitter or better. And oftentimes we choose the path of bitterness and sadness, especially when it comes to someone, you know, a loved one that we have that died by suicide. But we are working to change that stigma, especially you guys at Save the I Love You Bro Project. So where can people see what you guys are up to at the I Love You Bro Project? Okay. Shameless plug time. Let's hear it.
Shameless plug. I'm a company man. So the I Love You Bro Project, we invite everyone to, you can see us on Instagram at, you know, I Love You Bro Project, on Facebook at I Love You Bro Project. But also, we'd love to direct people to ilovebro.net. That's our website where we'll have, it kind of tells the story, what we're up to. And we invite particularly men to get on there. And right now we're still working on getting our registration process on our calendar, able to sign up. Eventually, you'll be able, in the next few weeks, you'll be able to hop on there and see the events that we have. And again, these are the Courage to Bro support groups. We're going to have one in West Jordan opening by the end of this month. For now, we have one in Provo every Wednesday night. That's from 7:30 to 9. We're going to have one in West Jordan opening up soon. And on ilovebro.net is where on our events you'll be able to see a calendar of all the different things that we're doing, from these educational classes that we're calling Let's Grow Bro to our Courage to Bro support groups. And so we point you all, whoever's listening, if you are struggling, obviously 988 is the first and foremost answer at the time, in the moment. Mm-hmm. If the I Love You Bro project is, you know, for men who, you know, we want to get better. All of us need to get better. All of us need to keep learning. It's a project that's continuous until you die.
Amen.
And yeah. So the I Love You Bro project is not just for people who are struggling. It is for every man, for every dude to become better, get to know yourself a little bit, and grow and learn about all these different things that are plaguing your kids, and educate yourself about all the different things that are plaguing just society in general. So no, man, that's, the hope is real, man. We gotta
it is and the future is bright. So but yeah, that'll be in the podcast description, everyone, so please can go check him out and see all the wonderful things that he is doing with the I Love You Bro project. And thank you, everybody, for listening to this week's episode of the Save the Kids podcast. Just a reminder, if you'd like Save the Kids to come to your community, please fill out the speaker form linked in the podcast description. If you want your one-stop shop for raising tech heavy kids raising resilient kids in a tech heavy world, we're on Instagram as well. Link in the podcast description. Always remember, you are wonderful, you are worthy, and you are worth it.
And I love you, bro.
Go home and give your kids an 8-second hug, and we'll see you on the next one.